I'm Vin.
I'm Sori.
And this is Heaven Torn Asunder from the band Cradle of Filth, the big homie.
Kevin!
Shout out to Kevin, big Cradle of Filth fan. I think the only, like, bigger Cradle of Filth fan in the village is probably Ian. But Kevin's a big, big Cradle of Filth. It's also his birthday today.
Isn't he the one that proposed?
He did.
Yeah.
At a Cradle show. For timely topical political commentary, you can hit us up.
Oh, you said it was his birthday today?
Yeah.
But I was thinking about the proposal. Well, happy birthday, Kevin.
For timely topical political commentary, you can hit us up at Middle America with Vin and Sori. If you, dear listener, would like to have your song reviewed like Kevin did, it's very simple. $125 at the gate gets you right to the head of the line where you can decide for yourself what song to do. And you don't work with an alliance or anything like that. It's just only you. And there you go. That's how you do it. Minotaurmerch@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a filthy capitalist like Sori and you want to work with a team like all people should, then $1 to gate gets you in at Patreon, and then you meet all these cool people, you join an alliance, you pull your points together, and then boom, there you go. This is Heaven Torn Asunder from the band Cradle of Filth. Let's do it. Dusk in Her Embrace, I guess, is the album.
All right, here we go.
Rain. Yeah.
does both. Danny Filth does both of those vocals, right? And like he also does
the high pitch the and then the low.
Yeah.
He does.
And
both.
He writes it.
Yeah, the guy. He's
very versatile.
By far, the greatest lyricist. Well, happy birthday, Kevin. You weird person. this is what he wants on his birthday. Okay.
What do you picture? Do you picture any little creature or anything when you hear Danny do that with his voice?
Well, I'm reading that book about demons or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, there's all, like, these different types of demons, and there's one guy that, like, that's the voice they do. They're like, but he's kind of like a middle-level demon. He's not really a high demon, but he still has people that report to him. But then there's this one that growls, and, like, he's, like, the high-level demon, and he keeps picking on the other, and the little
demon. Yeah, it's my picture, like, a little...
Yeah.
If demons looked like people, he would look like...
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily...
They call me from Korn.
Yeah, who? Fieldy?
What's his name?
Jonathan, he's like 6'4".
Yeah, but he doesn't look like... It doesn't matter. He's still real... You know, like the younger version of him when he's all skinny?
Yeah.
His hair and stuff, all stringy looking.
That's good. You always find some way to diss my favorite band.
What did you say his name
was? Who, Danny Filth?
No.
Jonathan Davis?
Yeah, I always can. I can never remember his name as Jonathan. Once in a while, I can. You know what I always want to put his name as? Michael. I don't know why.
Michael?
I don't know.
All right.
But whatever. You can't win them all.
I don't know, Brian. There you go. yeah. Lyrically, this song was insane. He's talking like storm choirs gather a pestilential hiss, sunset evokes Luciferian fire. The skies are ruptured like a knifed orifice, good lord. Supernatural vestments hang tattered, cathedrals shriek to pulpit oratory. Invasion scale Babel's ivory towers, poised to sodomize a world on its knees. So it looks like it's some sort of demonic invasion, but they're... These are people who are dedicated to Artemis, I think. Is it Artemis? He mentions Artemis right there. Wasn't that when Paul got beat up by all those people there? They were saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians?
I don't know what an orphan is.
Artemis.
Yeah, I know, but I'm looking that up because I don't know what that word means. But you're
Not orifice, Artemis. I purposely skipped over orifice. I'm talking about Artemis.
Yeah, I know, but I'm distracted because I don't know what that word means.
Oh, it's an opening of your body.
Gross. Okay.
So if I think something is gross, then...
Yes, I know, but when you think something is gross, it really, honestly, it brings out the kid in me, and then I really want to know what it is.
Yeah, but I don't think that you, I don't think that you really like the picture there, if you think about it. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Picture's kind of grody.
It's disgusting, but I still needed to know. I feel better now that I know.
Well, that's probably the most graphic depiction of, like, supernatural events in the sky happening. You had Rain and Blood from A Lacerated Sky.
Yeah.
And then Danny just refusing to be outdone by, goes out and says that stuff. So there you go. But Artemis was the goddess of the hunt. And that's when Paul and them got beat up. And they were like, great is Artemis of the Ephesians.
Oh, yeah,
is that what they were saying? I don't know if they...
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
They were saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, weren't they?
I do remember Artemis being there, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, right there. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, yeah. And then they beat the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she was on that gangster. She was on that gangster. So, and then it says right there, attack. So maybe this is like the demon... You know, maybe it's like these people are lined up with Artemis and they're coming to invade the world and all the rest of it. With stars erased, throw wide the gates, the infidel soon unmasks her face. Knee silken shroud, she waxes horn, sharpened to skewer the dawn, basically. So, this is really interesting because most of the time you're thinking about, like, you know, like the male energy for demons or devils or invaders, and it's Artemis, I'm assuming. And she's the one that's tearing heaven asunder in this particular song.
Mm-hmm.
I am as a plague born to the priestess, the secret armor of her archangelic reign. Jaded-eyed with my lovers possessed, screamed out their agonies upon the stake. See, go ahead.
No, I just... Go ahead.
No, what were we going to
say? No, I just... the way that it was worded, it was kind of like, because they used rape, and then Jade and I with my lovers possessed, screamed out their agonies upon the stake, and then I just pictured like somebody was on the stake. It was just, I just got a visual when he said it. Go ahead.
Well, there aren't many places in the Bible where the demon or the head demon is carrying female energy. There's only like, one spot in the Bible.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
There's only one spot in the Bible where there's a demon.
That's true.
There's even a hint of a demonic power being feminine, and that's in Zechariah, and it's a pretty obscure passage. So do what you will with that. You know, a lot of people say the Bible's misogynistic. It's like, well, there's no, all the demons are almost exclusively male.
Yeah, that's true.
So is that misogynistic? Now a person could say, yeah, they're not even giving women their equal rights to be demons. But in the intertestamental period, there were feminine spirits that were looked upon as demonic and things like that. That got developed during the intertestamental period. But it looks like he's specifically going after Artemis here as a demon here. And it's talking about, and it's really interesting. Like, I don't know the story about her being raped by an archangel or whatever, but It's a very interesting concept where when he's bringing that up, she's a person that basically dealt with sexual assault. It's almost like women can't even escape it, even the supernatural realm that shit is happening. You know what I mean? Like in this particular song.
So they're saying Artemis was raped?
Well, it starts off, you know, Bedizen's eyes paralyzed with blasphemy, written in flesh across the howling ether, good Lord. And then it says Artemis. Right there, right? So, like, and it's kind of like almost literally at the midpoint of the song. So we get a clue that the song's about her. And then it talks, the very next stanzas talk about stars erase, the infidel unmasks her face, knee silken shroud, she waxes horn. And then it starts speaking, I am as a plague born to the priestess, the secret armor of her archangelic rage, jaded eyes of my lovers possessed. Screamed out their agonies upon the stake. This could be a daughter or a son of Artemis, or it could be Artemis herself. But I'm assuming it's Artemis herself because he's saying attack. You know, like she's leading the attack. And
yeah,
obviously she's the goddess of the hunt, so that makes sense. And then she's saying, wreak atrocities on those we've despised, judgments be riven from the skies. Darkness and power, let us master prophecy, fulfilling destiny, the promised fever. So she's, this is a world where she gets to, you know, call that play and then initiate that sort of vengeance, you know, which you don't really you don't really see anything about why she's angry or why she believes that she needs to execute any vengeance until you hear about the archangel, rape, I assume, in which case, in my opinion, she would be justified to be angry if that was the case. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. What does bedazzins mean? Did he make that word up? It reminded me of that. It was like something called bedazzle that you would put these beads. You could put them all over your clothes.
To dress up or decorate gaudily.
Okay, and so
this is about people in fancy suits.
But it was talking about their eyes.
Paralyzed with blasphemy, written in flesh across the howling ether. Yike.
Some of the stuff that he writes, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me, but it sounds so cool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, this one makes a lot of sense though. Because she's a goddess, so her form is, you know, very, very beautiful. So they're basically hypnotized by how beautiful she is.
Oh my word, I literalized that her eyes were decorated gaudily and it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You're saying that because of her appearance, everybody's eye, that's what, okay.
Dazzled or bedizened eyes. And then the most august sorcerers of Hades darkly seized for me a throne, and the upraised scythe so terribly scribed vengeance and Jesuit blood on stone. Which again, that's when the girl started her basically spoken word thing. So again, she's one of the queens of the underworld basically. They talk about Hades and they also talked about Tartarus, right? Like right there.
Yeah.
The Tartarian fires, which would be Tartarus, which is very interesting because in the Bible, Hades, whatever you want to call it, is simply the world of the dead. So good guys end up there, bad guys end up there.
Yep.
But Tartarus and it appears one time, and it's in 1 Peter when it's talking about the angels that sinned and they're locked in gloomy dungeons.
Yeah.
I think that's 1 Peter 3, or I'm pretty sure it's 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 4, where you have these angels in gloomy dungeons, and the word there is Tartarus. And that is a specific place, and human beings are never spoken of as being in Tartarus in the Bible. It's only those specific angels, which is very interesting because you have... I forgot who ends up in Tartarus in Greek mythology, yeah, but it's basically like these, they're demigods almost. I forgot what they were, the Titans.
Yeah.
So the Titans ended up in Tartarus, and they were basically locked up there because they were so powerful that the gods, like, they're like, yeah, we gotta let these guys up in Tartarus. So, you know, Nephilim and all that, that's a completely separate discussion. Very interesting stuff.
I love those discussions. Those are like my favorite discussions to have with you.
Yeah, yeah. So... rushing deathwards are
one of them. And my other subject, my other favorite subject to discuss with you is time.
Huh?
When we talk about time,
I think the movie is going to be about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
We have a date tonight.
So it says, "Tremble before us, lords of the star-veiled red sepulchres." Good Lord, star-veiled red sepulchres. So it's like they've got a graveyard in the sky, basically. Mm-hmm. Like that's pretty crazy. Like. That's insane. Like, it's just really crazy how this guy writes.
Yeah.
There's nobody like this dude ever in the history of music, period, full stop.
You know what I'd like to know? I'd like to know if he comes up with this stuff quickly or if he has to, like, try really hard.
I think he's so well read.
I feel like it just comes out.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Like lyrically, I don't, it depends on, like, how. Because it's funny, because like when I was writing the song, like lyrically it came out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And like we had to
switch it.
We were writing our own song, and then it just wasn't working for you. And so I was like, well.
It was like literally 1 second. I was like, look, this isn't working for me because this and this. Yeah. And then he was like, okay, well, let's switch it to this. It was like so quick. It was like you had had the whole thing planned for so long.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, and the entire time I was like, we were going in the completely different direction.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was like, but then it turned out to be better for you.
Oh, yeah.
So that we were able to, yeah, but that came out really quickly. But that was because I was so familiar with that story. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So because I was so familiar with that story, like, everything just went... Because we had the music. We already had the music. So, you know.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is just being a master of the English language. Like, just having a lot of words at your disposal and stuff. Like, he clearly has a very, very broad vocabulary. You know what I mean? Like, almost every time... Like, there's multiple words in here that I'm like, I don't know what that means. And then there are words in here that I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, shoot, you could... Well... Some of the stuff is disgusting, so I wouldn't, but you could give this to the kids and be like, every word you don't know, you need to look up.
Yeah.
But there's some words in there that I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. But the guitar work, you know, obviously when you start, you know, trying to do your own music, the guitar work here was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because the riffage was heavy, it was taking you somewhere, but it wasn't like chunk, 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 chunk. Trump type of heaviness. It was like the
yeah,
tempo.
When I listened to the guitar, I thought it had like a really nice sound to it, and the background noises and everything was really cool, but I get so distracted by his vocal style that I'm like, I was thinking like, how did he come up with this vocal style? How long did it take for people to acclimate to it and people to like it? And then once they like it, is it one of those things where... Like, I don't have a craving for his vocal style, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think people clearly do. And so I wondered, like, is it one of those things where once you like, acquire the taste for it, you just want to hear
it
more?
Well, it was hilarious when Lindsay was like, I hate his vocals. Remember when we did the interview with her? She's like, I hate his vocals.
I forgot.
Yeah, she's like, I hate his vocals. It's intolerable. I thought that was funny. That was hilarious. Look at this line right here. This line is brilliant. The enemy has held 3 seasons in paradise while we writhed.
Oh.
Get it? The enemy held 3 seasons? So you got summer, spring, and fall. They have winter. So they're saying winter is ours because, you know, death, whatever.
But all the other
But the enemy has 3 seasons. And they're in paradise while we writhed. So it's like, you know, usually you would say imprisoned.
Yeah.
But he uses a word in paradise. Yeah, he's, you know, because to them, paradise is a prison, I'm assuming, while we ride. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is, again, another thing for vengeance. Like, they're up there living it up, and we're in this horrifying misery.
Oh, my word.
So now we're going to get angry and destroy everything.
If we had those three seasons and skipped winter.
Yeah, that's called Florida. It's called Florida.
Remind me why we're here again.
Called Florida, ladies and gents. Yeah, so like, there's just a brilliant lyricism that you will miss. Like that shit is crazy, bro. Crazy. It's a really, really good song. I love the guitar parts on it. Definitely a little bit of a different angle. If we're right that Artemis is really the protagonist in the story here, but very, very good song. What do you give it?
So I have a funny relationship with his vocal style. Like, sometimes when I listen to it, I like it. And then other times, I'm like, that's really annoying. This time, it kind of got on my, like, annoying side, so it's gonna have to be a lower score. So I'm gonna go with an
8.1. 9.4, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not even gonna argue with you on this one.
Oh, you're learning.
Yeah.
Look, here's some pictures of Artemis. All right.
Then out.
Story out.
Gone.